Calgary Flames taking on the Philadelphia Flyers. Flames coming off two straight losses and want to get back on the winning track in the very tight Western Conference race. Wes Gilbertson from the Calgary Sun joins us. Wes, two-game losing streak in November. People are like, no big deal. A two-game losing streak when you're in the throes of a playoff race adds a lot more stress to fans in Calgary, I would think.
Yeah, absolutely. And especially if a two-game losing streak becomes a three or a four, I know, you know, there's a lot of nerves in this city. A lot of people obviously enjoying that the ride that this team's been on, but you know, also the feeling that it sure would be a shame if they didn't get in after getting this far. So kind of some nervous energy, and like you said, two's not a big deal in November or December, but at this time of year, I guess has people chomping on their fingernails a little bit more than usual.
Wes, a lot of people, myself included, thought the Flames would be at or near the bottom of the standings in the Western Conference. Needless to say, they've been a surprise. But, you know, some of the analytics people suggest there's a little bit of smoke and mirrors going on here, and you want to possess the puck and you want to outshoot opponents. Flames have lived dangerously that way this year. They've also fallen behind a lot. You can't do that now. You've got to play the odds. You got to play from in front, and that's been a problem.
Yeah, certainly. And you know, I'm the first to admit, just like you, I'm one of those people that expected them to be down at the bottom of the standings as well. But you're right. You know, what this team has done in terms of third period comebacks, they're second in the NHL with 10 third period comebacks this year, is really impressive. But at the same time, you know, you have to remember that they've now lost, I think, 18 or 19 games when they're losing after two periods. And you can't keep digging yourself a hole like that, and, you know, especially the other night against a team like St. Louis. You know, when they come in here aware that you do that in the third period, they're just not going to let it happen.
The Giordano injury, most people thought, okay, that Cinderella's slipper didn't fit, and now it's over. And they've done great without him. You know, Weidman, Russell, specifically, you know, those two guys have had to improve their minutes a lot. Brody's played a lot anyway. How has the injury started to take its toll? Do you think that, you know, the increased minutes by those three specifically, did you see anything wavering in their game just because those guys are playing so much more?
I definitely see, a transition, I guess would be the best way to put it, for Brody. When you go from playing with one of the NHL's best defensemen to playing alongside a guy who's in over his head playing in the top four, you know, it changes the way you play the game. Mark Giordano and TJ Brody, when they played together, took a lot of risks. You know, you'd see TJ Brody, you know, looking for rebounds, deflecting shots in front of the net, and he kind of always knew Mark Giordano would be back there. You know, it's been a transition now for him playing with Derek Englund, but I think the biggest thing now is that, you know, like I alluded to earlier, the Flames really only have three top four defensemen. And those guys are still playing really well, but, you know, when you only have three of them, it is taxing. It takes a toll. You're asking them to play a lot. And, you know, I don't think we've seen a real impact of it yet. I don't think we've seen a fall off, but it has to be something that you worry about with a dozen games to go here.
Well, the one thing, as you well know, too, at this stage in the season, you just look at the standings. You know, Winnipeg won two straight, Calgary lost two, and then you look, you're 1 point behind. You get into a three or four game losing streak at this point in the season, you're taking yourself out of the race.
Yeah, and you can look at two losses. You know, we've talked about the fact here in Calgary lately, the Flames are 6-3-1 in their last 10 games, and yet here they are out of the playoffs. So, you know, I think that kind of puts in perspective how well everyone else in the West is playing. You know, if you get, you know, what's that off the top of my head, 13 out of 20 points, that's a pretty good pace.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if that still isn't enough to keep you in a playoff spot, you know, that kind of speaks volumes to what everyone else is doing at the same time. So, you know, like you said, this is a team that amazingly is in the playoff picture despite an 8-game losing streak in December. You know, in terms of losing more than two at this time of year, that would be really costly.
I noticed a few lineup changes back. Looked like Juris is out. Is he still injured? What's the decision there?
Yeah, he's got, and you know, it's that time of year that nobody gets a lot of information on what it is, but something's definitely bothering Josh Juris. Not only, you know, is he not in tonight, he didn't skate this morning. So not a simple case of a healthy scratch. Something is definitely bugging him, and Marcus Granlund now is back from the AHL to take that spot.
And, you know, Granlund from Juris, like Juris has been a real pleasant surprise in Calgary this year. That's kind of a drop-off, isn't it?
Certainly, yeah, I would think it's a little bit of a drop-off. The biggest drop-off, and don't get me wrong, Marcus Granlund is not slow, but not many guys on the Flames can skate like Josh Juris can. And he's been really valuable for them on the penalty kill with his speed. You know, he certainly has looked good in that spot on the third line. You know, Mason Raymond's another guy who can really skate. Joe Colburn probably doesn't get enough credit for how well he can skate. So, you know, that's a line that's been able to do some things with their speed. So, you know, Marcus Granlund has had a lot of good games for the Flames this year, but you're right, it is a drop-off.
You know, it's interesting. We talk about how nobody expected much from the Flames. Now they hang in and hang in all season. I don't get the sense that the people in Calgary go, "Oh, it was fun while it lasted. It's okay. We'll finish 10th. That's good." This is a pretty good team, and you know, can do something if it can just stay healthy enough to get in.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of optimism. You know, it's funny. It becomes a bit of a roller coaster, I'm sure, for fans of the team. You see them play some really good games, and then you see them play a team like St. Louis and go, "Oh, geez, if we get into the playoffs and have to play these guys, you know, we're in a ton of trouble." I think, you know, I think people in this city would be and certainly should be, you know, beyond satisfied if this team does get into the playoffs this year. But, you know, the team doesn't want people thinking that way. You know, they're telling everybody, "Hey, we're not trying to get the last wild card spot. We, you know, our sights are higher than that." You know, they're certainly not going to be talking about just being first round fodder if they do get into the playoffs. So, you know, I think when you hear the guys say that enough, it probably trickles down to the fan base. And you know, you're right. They've shown a lot of reasons to believe that, you know, they can at least make life difficult on another team in the playoffs. So, you know, I think people are pretty excited to see that.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how it goes, Wes. I know many Oilers fans are cheering for a Calgary ninth place finish, which is how it should be when you have a rivalry. So,
yeah, I'm sure, you know, many Flames fans are hoping for a late climb that gets the Oilers out of the top two as well. So, you know, that's what makes it fun to, you know, go to Red Deer and see who's on what side, right?
That's very true. Appreciate your time. Enjoy the playoff push.
Yeah, thanks, guys.